This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamotu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us...
Marion Abbas.
Jane Bolton.
And I'm Stuart Burt. Okay, Marion, you were born in Fielding in 1940.
Yes.
And you went to school here.
Yes, I went to Lytton Street School in Fielding. Mm. And I used to walk to school in those days as a little girl. And with all the other children who used to walk to school.
Was it a long walk? Or?
Yes, I used to have to walk all down the way down East Street in Fielding.
Yeah.
And they were the days when parents didn't have to drop their children off in cars.
Hmm.
We didn't have probably the problems that they have now.
Hmm.
And so it was quite common to see all the children biking and walking, little ones walking to school.
Yeah.
I can remember going on very frosty mornings and walking with other children. And in those days, the schools weren't like they are now. They were not carpeted.
Yes.
And we had the oiled floors and...
Oiled floors, so wood with oil.
Oiled floors in the schools.
Were they slippery? Were they slippery?
No, not slippery. No.
Okay.
But, and of course, on cold, frosty mornings, and some will remember the corridors were lined with all the coat pegs, and you used to have to go to hang up your things on coats on the coat pegs and go into your rooms.
Mm.
And I must say that I felt I had a very good education at Lytton Street.
Did you all take your own lunches? Or?
We did take our own lunches in those days. We never had lunches like they have now. Mm. I can remember, don't forget, these were war years, going to school at Lytton Street.
Mm.
The boys would all be in bare feet. Shoes were hard to get in those days with the war.
Yeah.
And so a lot of children went to school in bare feet in frosty mornings.
Yeah,
and but I tell you what, they all had a lunch.
Hmm. And what sort of things would you have for lunch?
Kids mostly had sandwiches, and in those days too, milk was provided in the schools.
Yeah.
Bottles of milk. Some children could get through them, some couldn't.
Yeah,
but we were provided with milk. And lunches certainly were unheard of in that time.
So sandwiches would be what, meat or peanut butter or
Marmite
sandwiches?
Probably not too exciting for a lot of them.
Yeah.
But I don't remember children not having a lunch to have.
Yeah.
Parents did. And in those days, of course, war years, a lot of families made sure they had their own vegetable gardens. So food, we were brought up with healthy
You were
food.
Living in town, were you?
Living in town at the time in Fielding. Yeah. And so we were brought up with healthy food too.
Yeah.
Occasionally we used to have a store down the road, and we used to, at times our parents would shout us a pie to have for lunch.
Yeah.
And I could remember children going down, being selected to go and get the pies from the store to bring back for kids who wanted a pie for lunch in those days.
Yeah. What about sweets? Were they
No,
then?
You didn't hear about sweets. So.
Sweets? Biscuits?
No, nothing. It was mostly sandwiches and fruit, bit of fruit.
Yeah.
And as I say, I don't recall children not having a lunch.
Yes, okay. Now, a standard question that's raised about schools with issues of discipline, was it very strict? You had to all behave
yes,
yourself?
Oh, yes, the strap was used. But I've got to be honest and say that I think when it was used, probably the kids would say, well, I really did deserve it.
Okay. Now, you were later a teacher, though,
yes,
yourself. So would your attitude be different given that experience?
I think as a teacher, I used the strap, but it was so rarely. So rarely that you really had to be stretched as a teacher to resort to a strap. But I... being a woman, I guess, I always strapped on the hand, never on the legs. But sometimes you had to pull the children around.
Yes.
Yes. So...
So you see it as a problem
I sometimes think that the children actually, in a way, respected discipline, though. They did.
They need some boundaries, you
they,
think.
They had the boundaries, and they knew that if a teacher pulled out the strap, they'd gone too far. I mean, I've got to say this, I'd say it was so rare that I had to use it.
Sometimes probably just knowing that it's there is enough.
You had to sometimes just pull that child around. And the class knew that you were not going to take that kind of nonsense.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you could teach. Nowadays, I hear that teachers half the time are having to spend their time disciplining children.
Yeah.
You didn't have children in those days breaking school windows or smashing furniture.
Yeah.
Or writing on walls.
Yeah.
The children had a degree of respect and respect for teachers.
Now, was that one issue that's come out is the idea of people's rights, so and children's rights and so on.
I think I don't know whether that really arose because most teachers were very, very good with their students, their kids, and they were prepared to listen to the children's problems. I mean, if kids had worry, and if you're in a if you're a teacher. You learn to pick out those problems and try and help the kids through. But you didn't have the violence that they have now, and you were not faced with drugs.
Yes.
And I do feel for teachers today who are having to cope with children brought up in circumstances that are making life so difficult for them. We did not have parents working full-time, like two parents going to work. Mostly, I think, in truth, the most women in those days were at-home mothers. But was not this, all of them.
Yeah, was there something that they wanted that sort of life? So they thought.
Well,
that was,
I think it was at a stage of life where the men took it on their shoulders that they were the breadwinners.
Yeah,
and this helped a lot.
Yeah.
But don't forget, being war years.
Yeah.
My golly, you learnt not to go wasting your money. And you were also brought up, and children were brought up with the fact that quite often you would see boys, older schoolboys, say standard five, standard six age, in those days we called them, going on paper runs after school.
Yeah. Standard five, standard six, that's
yes,
what, about
that'd
12
be 11
years old?
12 year olds.
Yeah.
Or early high school. On paper runs.
Were the girls doing sort of any bit of money too? Were there options for them?
I didn't see girls so much, but the
not
boys...
Not necessarily paper
you
runs,
see,
but
you
were there other
up,
things they could do?
Yeah. You were brought up, you see, because they were hard years and children were brought to save. And the other thing that they were brought up with, and I think even our children when they were little, the post office used to have savings. Yes. You had a money box, yes, or your card, and they also had these little post office books where you you took along so much money a week, and you filled in your book, and you had your own little book, and you knew your pennies or your threepence or your sixpence in those days.
Yeah.
Was being saved up, and you had pride in looking to see how much you were saving.
So did you get pocket money?
Yeah. No, I didn't actually get pocket money as a wee child, but my mother would let me have a pie at school sometimes, and if I needed something, I had it.
Okay.
But my mother was a wonderful sewer. She sewed clothes. I think we were the best dressed girls on the street. Yeah. And of course, knitting and sewing. Yeah. A lot of the women sewed in those days.
Yeah.
Because you just couldn't get some things.
Yeah. But you didn't have sort of your own money to spend, so you could say, "Oh, I've got a shilling."
If I wanted something, I went to mum. To my dad and mum.
Okay.
And, and of course, if you needed money for school for something, well, naturally, you school put out notices and things of what kids needed. No, you're not deprived.
So was that normal? Did your friends get money that they could perhaps?
I think, I don't recall in those days the kids having a lot of money to go and spend. I mean, what parents did give to their children. I mean, in those days, you're talking as a threepences and ninepences and sixpences and shilling. But most parents, as far as school equipment and what they needed school, they weren't deprived of that so much. Yeah.
No, I think the idea of pocket money was more the children have the idea, do you save, or once you've spent it, it's not there. So some sense of the
but
value of money.
But as I say, in those days, I think with times being tough, children, you were brought up with the ethic of trying to save.
Yeah.
And save at a young age. Save at a young age. Yeah. And I think that's an ethic. I sometimes wonder if it's lost today. I think you do have to watch how much money you give your children.
Because
they've got to learn that money has to be earned. It just doesn't come.
So did you have chores to do?
Yes, to a degree. When primary school age, I can remember my mother hearing my reading while she was doing dishes at night. Always heard reading every night.
Okay.
Wonderful, was going to get reading. And teachers were very keen in those days, especially in the infants, to get those children reading.
Yes, yeah.
Reading,
yeah,
very important.
And there was much emphasis on spelling and handwriting as well?
Oh, yes. Yep. Yes, writing, spelling, reading, much emphasis on that.
And the times tables?
Were
you drilled in those?
Do I remember reciting times tables?
Yes.
And also teaching times tables to children.
Yeah. Do you think that's a good, they've moved away from that now? Do you think?
Well, I sometimes wonder, everything's done so much on computer work now, and the... what do you call them?
Keyboard, cell phones.
Yeah, and
tablets.
It's done for you. I can remember going to the old grocery store, you know, where you got your groceries over the counter. Nothing was put round. You asked for it.
Yeah.
And I can remember our grocer totting up the grocery as fast as you could imagine.
Yeah.
Because he knew how to add up. He was taught to add up and add up quickly. And that always...
And you were taught so that you could do it with him and make sure he's doing it right.
You were taught. You were taught to add. And I, as a teacher, did like to teach my kids to learn to add up and how to add up and teach them to add. Because it really is a very useful tool. But now, of course, with all the modern equipment they have, of course, you don't... Probably they don't have the need for that the same. But it doesn't hurt you. No. It makes you use your brain.
Yeah, I think, well, they talk about, well, the idea at a certain age you're building memory skills and then later on more the analytical.
But reading was certainly emphasised when I, in those years, early years.
Yeah.
Reading was, and when I hear that kids leave primary school, and a lot of them can hardly read, it upsets me.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
They should be able to get to high school and read and add.
Yeah. So when you were...
Something has happened that's, you know, for some. I'm not saying that's all, but you get a degree in children.
Well, there's a move away from even reading books, I think.
Yes. And, of course, there's always... I mean, let's be honest, as a teacher, you'll always get those children that need more help with their work.
Yeah.
But if you're a good teacher and observe that... You're going to try and get those kids ahead.
Yeah. What about at the other end? There's some sort of the gifted children.
Yes, and you're going to make sure they work right up to their level. Because you're not doing them a favour.
So how large were the classes that you were
well,
doing?
Well, your classes, when I taught, we had mixed classes. I used to have... above average group and a good average group and the other group that needed more help. So I was in classes with the spectrum of learning. And it really was quite an eye-opener.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, I never forget the day when I was teaching that I wanted to give the group that needed more help my attention. And I decided for a week I'd give them my full attention and set work for the other groups.
Yeah.
What happened in the meantime, that group that was a very bright group, their work slipped back.
Yes. Yeah.
To mark their books, their work was terrible.
Yeah.
It wasn't neat. They did it, but it was, you know. And I'd had enough of this. Into the week. So the following Monday, when I got back to school, I really spoke to this group most severely and told them I was not going to accept that stuff from them. Do you know, I had a wonderful class all day because the other groups could not understand, couldn't believe that I would even reprimand this group. They sensed they were good.
Yeah, yeah.
And couldn't believe it. I'll tell you what, I've never had it so good. So you see, you've got to bring the bright kids on too. Because you're not doing them a favour if you don't do that.
Yeah.
How many children did you have in your class?
I used to have about 36.
That's big.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to give individual attention with some.
Well, yes and no. Yes and no. I think you work to that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember the growl about us and work how hard it is, but we worked hard.
Yes.
As a teacher.
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to stay behind after school and do a lot of work in the classroom. I used to take work home and do it. And I never just did it. It was part of our job. I was a teacher.
Did you? I think one of the issues they talk about now is that the teachers have to have all the written teaching plans and schedules and reports on all the pupils.
I think
accountability.
I think some of the argument is that the teachers have a lot of writing up work to do. I can't comment on that because I've been out of that side of it for a time. But we used to have that too. But we didn't have computer help. It was all, you know, there was not in those days. So whether more is demanded of them now, but we used to have tests and marking and carrying on.
Do you think the children are easier? They were easier then because you had the discipline?
I think so. I think kids did respect discipline a bit more.
Yeah.
And don't worry, you had children who tested you very hard in that direction, of course. I mean, kids are kids, aren't they? And a lot depends on the background children come from, of course, too. Because I guess in some families discipline's not there, in some families it is. But and no, when I was teaching, I didn't have too much trouble. And I think the important thing too is as a teacher, I used to enjoy when I was on duty being in the playgrounds and going around children, and you could talk to them in the playgrounds, and you could, you know, take an interest in what they were doing, and.
Now, also, in going back to there was the your early childhood, were there many male teachers in school?
Yes, definitely, definitely men teachers. I think the infants, I think they were pretty well women teachers in the infant department when I went to school, and then definitely a lot of men after that. I think I had a woman teacher about standard five, but men teachers standard three, four, six, standard two, and they were good. They were very nice teachers. So I can't, I look back on my school days and I loved them, on my own school days.
Did you have, you were talking about that you'd walk or cycle to school. Was there much physical activity during the school day?
Yes, you had your sports. You had your sports and your basketball in those days, we called it for girls. And rounders, we used to call it in those days. I used to play rounders, I used to love it. And so sport was very much part of it. But the thing was, we didn't have, in those early days, a swimming pool.
Okay.
So I can remember our class going down to the river.
Okay. And that might have been cold sometimes.
I never forget that. It probably isn't the best, but, you know, they took us swimming.
Yeah, and you learned swimming
the
in the river?
A bit more risky.
Well, you maybe learned more skills swimming in a river than you would do in a swimming pool. But,
well, the river does have a flow. And the river beds are stony. So there are a lot of kids that left the river in wet clothes and everything. And then eventually swimming pools came in.
Oh, so in quite a few schools then they didn't have swimming pools, you mean?
Lytton Street didn't to begin with, then it did. And Manchester Street School children, I think used the public swimming baths for a while. I think they weren't far from that, so they used that. But look, hey, they were the days. We used to have a lot of fun.
Yes, I could imagine.
Yes.
And after school, You just all go home, or you?
Yes. And you know, some children had chores to do to help mum and dad after school. And in those days, as I say, homes had backyards, and they'd have other children in to play when they were little. As you got older, you had homework to do.
And no television.
No TV.
What about radio?
No TV to distract you.
Radio.
Yes, radio, definitely.
Yeah.
And I can remember after the war, BBC used to give the end of day. I can remember my parents sitting in the lounge, and boy, we had to be quiet while they listened to this is the BBC calling.
Okay,
I can remember that. Post-war news.
So what was there for children, though? Was there much on the radio for children?
Yes, I think there were children's programs on the radio. Yes, there were.
And comics? Were there comics for
comics,
children?
Comics. Enid Blyton books we used to read. Some of those older books now. They were good books. I used to have some lovely children's books.
Yeah. But there are things like Wind in the Willows and Treasure Island and Winnie the Pooh.
And the sevens, the tight sevens, what was it called?
The famous five and the secret seven?
Got older and moved into them. But reading, I used to love reading.
Yeah, yeah. Encyclopedias, were they common?
Yes, as you got older, encyclopedias. Now there's so much on the computers.
Yeah, you just find it all there.
So you don't need encyclopedias, as you got older and needed information. Encyclopedias were very much part of learning.
Yeah, were they things that most families would have one, do you think?
Not always. No. Yeah. Not always. Don't forget, certainly in the war years, post-war. Yeah.
So what about the public library? Would that be very important when you were young?
Yes, it would be. Whether parents used that a lot for their children's learning, I'm not sure.
Did you, as a child, would you go to the library?
I mostly had probably books at home.
Yeah. I think now there's the idea of libraries as the community centre of the city and stuff.
I think
which
they're wonderful.
That's not the old-style library. No, it's more you go there, wanted, you quiet, and the books are there.
The libraries are much more open to all sorts of things now. Yeah. And I think they're wonderful now. Yeah. I really do.
But you wouldn't, as a child, you wouldn't have gone to the library to get books?
No, not as a child.
Okay, yeah.
Not as a child.
Yeah. Okay.
So...
cinema then, would you?
Yes, but my father, when I was a child, he was a wonderful vegetable gardener. And I can remember as a child going out helping him with the vegetable garden.
He
used to enjoy me because I used to go and plant things and I used to like seeing things grow. And in those days you could have your own hens in your backyard. I think in some towns they don't like them so much now.
So you
had your own hens and chickens and vegetable gardens and...
And lots of preserving and jam-making, pickles.
Yes, lots of preserving, jam-making, all that sort of thing.
Did you have a fridge? Refrigerator?
Fridges for some came a bit later.
Okay. So you had, what was it called, a safe? Or
but
a,
hey,
the safe.
Meat safe.
I tell you, a lot of my age will tell you, they can remember the old copper having to be used for washing.
Ah, yes, yeah.
Oh, boy, they were terrible. You used to have to set fire and the heat and the, goodness me.
And that was a weekly
And then the washing machine eventually came in.
This is part one of four. Listen next week for part two.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.